I be one of the first 100 people to wish Chef John Ash a Happy New Year?
You know, it's funny. You did when I came in. And I thought, gosh, it seems like it was so long ago. But it wasn't.
A lot has happened with the rains.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of accelerated.
So what did you do for New Year's? Were you nuts?
We had a big New Year's at the Garner household. Mrs. Garner made the most fantastic chicken wings.
Oh.
So we had chicken wings, we had Caesar salad, and sparkling wine. Yeah.
And what time did you go to bed?
We watched the ball drop from New York at 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny because Gwen did the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And then we were going, okay, we're really going to stay up. And I think of 10 after, like, yeah. 30 minutes had gone by, and we both woke up that, oh, I guess we're not going to make it till late again. Yeah. But it was great. It was nice being home and just celebrating together and not having to worry about traffic or weather or anything else.
Well, I think the rain is a little scary to be out driving around.
It was. Well, every year since 1987, we have interviewed cookbook authors. And when we counted this up, we usually average between 30 and 35 cookbook interviews a year. And then when we did the math, times like 30 to 35, that's almost more than 1,000 authors and cookbooks we featured over the last 37 years. And we always post our 10 favorites, but today we're going to do a little something different. But we're going to just briefly touch on many of the books and authors and say a word or two about what our thoughts were about that.
Well,
and we're going to post for the first time ever. We've never done this. Yeah. I'm sorry, listeners. We've never posted all the interviews and the authors that we did during the calendar year. So we're going to put that up next week.
And I would say that they were all great, you know, for one reason or another. Some greater than others, but they were all really informative and all that stuff. And if people don't know, Steve Garner is he's the one who chases these authors down and gets them to commit to getting on the air with us.
There's a lot of
thank you.
Thank you for acknowledging that. There's a lot of juggling involved because they're busy, especially when the cookbooks come out. But I did look back in January, John, almost January 8th or so, our first interview of last year, it was Sandor Katz. Do you remember that one?
Yeah.
The book was Sandor Katz's Fermentation Journeys, Recipes, Techniques, and Tips. And he is a legend in the world of fermentation.
Yeah.
His first book came out in 2003. He's just known as the fermentation revivalist, I think is what he refers to himself as.
Or guru.
And he's always brilliant and very motivating on the air.
And I think if anyone wants to know more about fermentation, I mean, the details of it, but also how to do it simply and all of that stuff, it's a great book.
Yeah, the first one he wrote, he set a sauerkraut about 25 years ago. And I think that's a good place to start because most people are successful doing sauerkraut. So that was our first interview. What about Kat Craddock, Savour, the New Classics, 1,000-plus recipes and expert advice?
It was pretty amazing. Because Savour was famous is famous. They no longer publish a hard copy magazine, but they're online. But famous for, in addition to great recipes, stuff about cultures, you know, really digging into, here's this food from Georgia, you know, what is that and what differentiates it from everything else? And I always enjoy, I still enjoy reading Savour.
Yeah, they were the first because before traditional cooking magazines were just recipe focused. Mm-hmm. They really weren't interested in the people behind the recipes. And Savour expanded our horizons since the mid 90s or so when they came on. Wasn't it the late 90s when Savour debuted, maybe 25 years ago?
I think it was maybe before then, but I can't remember.
A great cookbook. The next one, remember our conversation with Lisa Steele,
who wrote
the Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook?
Yeah.
She was really a kick. She's a fifth generation chicken keeper, an egg raiser back up in Maine. And she was a lot of fun. She calls herself the egg spurt. The egg spurt. I remember that about our interview. Lives in Maine and had a lot of great ideas about cooking with eggs. That was a lot of fun. She called herself also the queen of the coop. That was Lisa Steele, the Fresh Eggs Daily Cookbook. Next one was Matt Rodbard, The book was Food IQ, 100 Questions, Answers, and Recipes to Raise Your Cooking Smarts.
It was a really good book, because what it did was, you know, there were lots of things in there that, not that I'm the font of all information, but that I didn't know, you know, that it really expanded the my understanding of cooking and things like that.
And so. He also has a wonderful newsletter, which people should mm-hmm. probably subscribe to. Mm-hmm. It's complimentary. It's called Food IQ. And you'll learn a lot mm-hmm. from that, as I do every week. Next one, Jet Tila, Chef Jet Tila, 101 Thai dishes that you need to cook before mm-hmm. you die.
Jet is, I've known him for many, many years. We've worked together doing things, and he is a masterful teacher. He has the ability to take things, because sometimes Thai cooking can be a little intimidating to people who are not familiar with all the ingredients and stuff. And he makes it easy to understand, but the food that he produces is really delicious.
And he's a restaurateur. He has restaurants in Los mm-hmm. Angeles and Vegas mm-hmm. and other places. And I remembered he told us he received he was awarded to be the culinary ambassador to Thailand, kind mm-hmm. of an honorarium.
Yeah.
An interesting fellow and a great book. Great and very user-friendly for listeners.
That's the most important.
Chef Jet Tila. The next one was author Cynthia Nims, uh-huh. NIMS, Shellfish, 50 Recipes for Shrimp, Crab, Mussels, Clams, Oysters, Scallops, and Lobster. And she really knows her seafood. She was the executive director for the Seafood Magazine up in Seattle, mm-hmm. and she was also food editor of Seattle Magazine. Mm-hmm. That was a really insightful interview.
And this was kind of the magnum opus. She's done previously single subject books, like on scallops or on crab or those kinds of things. So this brought all of those together and included a couple of other shellfish.
She was very exciting to talk with. The next one, a very dear friend of ours, mm-hmm. Peter Reinhardt, who has written, I think it's probably a dozen books at least by now, multiple James Beard and Julia Child Cookbook Award winner, a great teacher who's still mm-hmm. on staff at Johnson & Wales in the baking department. And his last few years, he's been on a mission to uncover the greatest pizzas mm-hmm. in America. And he spent a couple of years crisscrossing America before he published Pizza Quest. Yeah. And that's a lively book. It's a lot of fun.
It is. And includes the recipes from many of the great pizzaiolas, you know, who are out there, the people who really know how to do it.
And he really uncovers a lot of the hot new pizza styles, mm-hmm. the Detroit style of pizza.
Gone the St. Louis style.
And the St. Louis style. So Peter Reinhardt, a frequent guest and a wonderful guest. Mm-hmm. The next one was Becky Sellengut. Her book was mind-bendingly good recipes for cultivated and wild mushrooms. She is a real academic, a real scholar. She's also a great chef. That's a lot of
and
years
a comedian.
In the kitchen. And a stand-up comedian and a forager.
Yeah.
So she really does it all.
Yeah.
I know you're really an expert in mushrooms, and I remembered you enjoying our conversation mm-hmm. a great deal with Becky. So that's one that I think people should probably look at. This book was actually a top 10 recommendation from NPR mm-hmm. last year, some of the best cookbooks of
well,
the year.
Well, I was just listening to a podcast. You know, this year we're going to be awash in, we already are, in wild mushrooms. So, you know, the previous years, because it's been so dry, it's been difficult to get them. But boy, I guess it's crazy out there right now.
It is. Have you been out yet?
Foraging? I haven't. It's too wet.
Way too dry.
I'm such a wuss.
Well, then the mushrooms, when it dries out, then they're all going to be popping early,
well,
aren't
they? And they are now, you know, because we got those early rains in November.
So look for that Becky Sellengut mushroom book if you want. The next one, this was a very dear interview for us, and that was mm-hmm. Karen Bates joined us in the studio for the release of Six California Kitchens, the restaurant that's her mom, Sally Schmidt, mm-hmm. and her dad, Don Schmidt, mm-hmm. founded, which happened to be the French Laundry mm-hmm. back in the 1970s before Thomas Keller bought it in 1994. Mm-hmm. This was her best recipes. Mm-hmm. This book was a long time in the making, the last couple years, and that was really heartwarming and a very in-depth mm-hmm. conversation about what her mom meant to the culinary mm-hmm. world.
And she did the most, if you had a chance to go to the French Laundry when she was in charge of the kitchen, it was the same format. It was a fixed menu. If you didn't like what they were doing that night, tough on you. But she did the most homey, I guess, is the way that I, you know, as opposed to what goes on there now. But they were just, you know, heartwarming,
nurturing.
I'm struggling to put words on it, but they were so delicious, and this book reflects that.
Karen Bates wrote it based on her mom's great recipes, The Six California Kitchens. And Karen is still active, of course, up at the Apple Farm mm-hmm. in Philo. Mm-hmm. Wonderful bed and breakfast and cooking classes mm-hmm. all up in Mendocino County.
And great plus place great products.
And great products, too. Yeah. I would say, out of all the year, one of our most entertaining mm-hmm. voices on mm-hmm. the show was Connach MacLeod, the Hebridean baker, recipes and wee stories from the Scottish Islands. Mm-hmm. And this guy is like nobody else I think we've had on the show. He was born and raised in the Isle of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides of Scotland, and a primitive area. And he and his trusty dog just traversed the landscape to find and forage and cook wonderful Scottish-inspired foods. He even spoke a little Gaelic
yeah.
during our interview as we talked to him from Scotland.
And it's different food. It's not English. It's not, you know, it's just, it was different stuff and really interesting.
Very dear, yeah. very funny
yeah.
man. And that photo of him on the cover
yes.
with his kilt,
yeah,
it was a real yeah. eye-opener, so to speak. Next one, a local chef that's done very well in the Bay Area, Chef Reem Asil. Her debut book, Arabia, Recipes from the Life of an Arab in Diaspora. And Reem is a very thoughtful, insightful author and activist. She's of Syrian and Palestinian heritage, and we were real happy to have her join us for mm-hmm. the debut of her book. Her restaurant is still open in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Called Reem's.
Called Reem's.
Yeah.
I have not had a chance to dine
yeah,
there.
I haven't either, but people who have tell me that it's just fantastic.
Well, let's do one or two more. Emma Zimmerman was next. The Miller's Daughter. These wonderful flowers and heritage grains. Her and her dad founded the Hayden Flour Mills right outside Phoenix mm-hmm. in Arizona. And she's become a real force in the world of heritage grains. Mm-hmm. This was her debut cookbook. Mm-hmm. Really a mm-hmm. wonderful book. The next one is Andy Baragani, The Cook You Want to Be. This got as much play and press as any cookbook of last mm-hmm. year. He's a real masterful teacher.
Well, he is, and writer. He also was the where was it? He worked for years with Bon Appetit.
That's
and
right.
All of Lumped you fancies. Know writing articles and stuff. So.
And it's interesting because his family is Iranian,
uh-huh.
and he said that was what he grew up in, his extended family and grandparents teaching him about the value of his Iranian cooking heritage, and mm-hmm. that inspired him to go professionally. Mm-hmm. That was a wonderful book. Highly recommended. Rick Martinez, the next one. Mi Cocina, Recipes and Rapture from my Kitchen in Mexico. We talked to Rick from his beachside home in Mazatlan,
yeah, yeah.
Mexico, with his trusty dog, Chocho,
yeah, yeah,
by
yeah.
his side. And this was another terrific teaching book.
It was. It sort of expanded. If you like Mexican-flavored food, it expanded the horizon greatly.
So that's on our list, too. We'll take a break at that point, and we'll cover the next half of what we talked about cookbooks next Saturday.
Good.
About that.
Okay.
It's the KSRO Good Food Hour with me, Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen.
The Drive with Steve Jackson. Having fun on KSRO. Weekday afternoons, 3 to 6 p.m. This is Sonoma County's FM News Talk, KSRO.
Growing up, I remember sitting with my grandma on the couch while she read to me. The wonderful thing now is I get to do this with my grandchildren. Hi, this is Barbie Simpson from Simpson Sheet Metal. For more than 40 years, we've protected people from the elements, and now it's time to help our kids in the community. Simpson Sheet Metal supports literacy in the North Bay and our quest to be better stewards of the community. Our technicians installers, and the entire team at Simpson Sheet Metal joined Sonoma County Schools and the Accelerated Reader Program to encourage middle school kids to read thousands of books outside the classroom. Our team continues to be here for all your future HVAC needs, and we are also here to help our kids become super readers. Put your trust in us.
Together, we can help our kids in the North Bay by supporting the Accelerated Reader Program.
Think smoke pollution is only a concern during wildfire season? Wood burning also creates smoke pollution, accounting for over one-third of all wintertime air pollution in the Bay Area, creating unhealthy air inside and outside your home. Protect the health of your family and neighbors by not burning wood. No matter the season, smoke is smoke. Sign up for alerts and do your part to spare the air.
At Exchange Bank, giving back to the community is a part of the legacy inspired by bank co-founder Frank Doyle, a civic and philanthropic leader in Sonoma County and creator of the Doyle Trust, providing scholarships to Santa Rosa Junior College students since 1948.
Frank Doyle's community commitment instilled a culture at Exchange Bank that encourages employees to pay it forward, volunteering and showing their commitment to giving back.
Exchange Bank, stability, longevity, and commitment to service since 1890.
Who doesn't love a quickie? All right, relax, folks. I'm talking about the 20-minute, once-a-week workout from Inform Fitness in Rohnert Park. It's safe and efficient, and it's exercise backed by extensive scientific research. You're busy with work, the kids, your spouse, homework. Where do you find the time to work out? Go to informfitness.com/Rohnert Park and sign up for a free workout now. Informfitness.com in Rohnert Park. Informfitness.com.
Help the Redwood Empire Food Bank restore a sense of comfort and relief to families who have gone without for far too long. Because We Care underwriter Exchange Bank reminds you that there are three ways to donate to the Redwood Empire Food Bank. Donate your time, donate money, or donate food. There's always a need in our community. Perhaps the need feels more urgent during the holidays. Go to the Redwood Empire Food Bank to donate at refb.org. That's refb.org.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
Of course, if you ever have cooking questions, Chef John Esch, we always take email questions during the show, steve@ksro.com. Here's one from G.S. Robinson. G.S. writes, Happy New Year, Steve and John. I have a beautiful set of Italian copper pots that has practically lost all its tin lining. I'm worried if I continue cooking in it, the copper molecules will leach into the food. Do you know anywhere where I can get these repaired? John, that's an interesting question.
It is an interesting question. And, you know, people aren't buying these in even restaurants who lived by, in France, these heavy copper tin-lined pots and pans and things like that. You don't see them as much anymore, but there are people, and you just looked up. Who did you?
Well, I know this place is still in business, Biro & Son Silversmiths, B-I-R-O. They're on Folsom Street, and they write on their website, quote, if you have your old copper pots or your mom's or your grandparents' copper cookware and want to do right by your inheritance, then take them to us. So there's one. I don't know of any place here in Sonoma, Napa. I would suggest possibly either Sur La Table or maybe over in Sonoma, Williams-Sonoma. Yeah. They might have referrals also.
Yeah.
But do you want to cook in those at this point?
You don't want to cook if the tin is thin or, you know, mostly gone, because he's right. Food reacts oddly with copper, so you don't want to cook in pure copper. Copper's a great heat conductor, which is why they People loved them, but then they had to line them with tin to keep it from reacting.
Did you have copper in the John Ash and Company restaurant?
No.
You didn't?
No. When you went into old fancy French restaurants, you'd see these copper pots, but they take some care. And if you want to make them look beautiful, you have to polish them and all of that stuff, and nobody has time.
So, Gius, there's a few recommendations. Either call Sir La Table or Williams-Sonoma, and Sonoma asks them for referrals, or even try Biro and Sons Silversmiths in Folsom. And there's probably some more places in the Bay Area that might do this.
Yeah, but not
service.
A lot. It's a kind of dying art.
So why would Elon Musk be interested in just you and me and our listeners?
You've uncovered this. I think that it's really cool. And are you going to go and bid?
Maybe. The Twitter office, everything in the Twitter office building is on Market Street. Is up for grabs. Uh-huh. They're doing an auction next week to raise money, and not that he needs money, but all the assets are located at 1355 Market Street on the sixth floor, featuring surplus corporate office assets of Twitter, sale featuring electronics, furniture, memorabilia, and a lot of high-end kitchen equipment. So if you have some bucks, you're going to redo your fabulous wine country kitchen, I would look at this auction site. Or if you may be a restaurateur planning to outfit a restaurant or refurbish and replace some equipment, I would look at this auction site.
Well, and also they describe as having bizarre decor, so I don't know what that is, but I'll bet there's some bizarre stuff there.
Well, the company that's putting it on is called Heritage Global Partners. Heritage Global Partners. They're the one conducting the auction. And if you go to their website and type in Twitter auction, you can find out how to register for this auction. I'm not sure whether they're going to have a preview or what the times are. These things are. It's actually buyer beware. Mm-hmm. There's no refunds once you've put down the buyer premium and paid the tax. You own it and are responsible for moving it from Market Street to wherever you are. And there are some huge pieces of equipment.
So is there anything that caught your interest?
Well, the smoker.
Yeah, I was going to say. Are you kidding? Yeah, that would be cool, because it's not a huge smoker.
No.
It's a smaller one, that if you love to smoke, this could start you in a new business.
Well, I really like it. They have a Southern Pride electric smoker that looks just about the size that I would want to work on. There's actually a Cool Shack electric smoker also. They have a couple of them. Mm-hmm. The Electrolux Greens Machine vegetable dryer looked really interesting, but I can't imagine drying 20 gallons of vegetables, but maybe some people out there would. The electric smokers, the gas deck, the double deck pizza bake oven. Someone who's looking for a pizza oven is going to start a pizzeria.
Yeah,
this looks like it's a professional model.
It's interesting. Like, why is all of that stuff at the Twitter headquarters? What was going on there?
Good question. They have a lot of deep fat fryers. Mm. I think you need that to do research. Mm. Holding cabinets, full size cook and hold ovens, jacketed tilting kettles. Floor mixers, one of these big Hobarts that you see in big professional bakeries. Flywheel slicer with stand, a Burkle. This is a professional model for your salumi, isn't it?
Yeah, you have to be a butcher.
Heavy-duty blenders this wearing looked really good.
Well, that would be something
for
to
a homeowner.
Get and if you could get it for a hot price, that would be great.
And look at this espresso machine. Man, that's a big one, too. A charbroiler, base refrigerator. I loved this Rotisol France rotisserie. With accessories. These were the ones you saw at the markets in France that would hold 40 to 50 chickens. Just a fabulous piece. I can't imagine where I put it, but I sure like that. For the beer lovers, the kegerator. How about that?
Yeah.
And I love this. The last one, they're actually selling the Twitter sculpture planter. The last one on the sheet. Isn't that? Mm-hmm. Would you imagine owning that?
Yeah.
So, hey, listeners, the auction's next week. We'll mention it also again. It's only one day. So put it on your calendar if you're looking to bid on anything. It opens on January 17th at 7 a.m. Pacific time, closes January 18th at 10 a.m. So you got to be
first in line. I wonder if there's any Elon Musk memorabilia or something.
I don't know. We'll find out. Yeah. We're going to talk to a great cookbook author right after this. It's the KSRO Good Food Hour.
Sonoma County's News Talk, KSRO, on FM at 103.5 in Santa Rosa and Windsor, and now at 96.9 in Petaluma.
Dr. Walter Tom listens to what his patients want.
The demand for Botox has been the highest in the 20-year history of our office.
Dr. Tom shares why Botox continues to be one of their most requested treatments.
I believe that Botox is the elixir of youth and probably one of the simplest things we can do to help us age gracefully without telling anybody what we're doing. The key is treating patients with Botox appropriately and correctly.
Dr. Tom is never in a rush.
Over the last two decades, our highly trained staff pride themselves in achieving the best results possible for our patients.
Dr. Tom was voted the best cosmetic surgeon in both Sonoma and Napa counties. Find out why. Make an appointment today for a free consultation.
Let's stay young together.
Online at drwaltertom.com. drwaltertom.com.
Do healthy eating habits fit into your New Year's resolution? Then shop the Santa Rosa Certified Farmers Market for fresh local produce. It's important to know where your food comes from, and you can meet the local farmers and ranchers who raise quality, locally grown food products for you to enjoy. At the market, you can savor a variety of delicious prepared foods. The market offers fresh, local ingredients for healthy dinners. A variety of quality meats from beef and pork to seafood, along with seasonal fruits and vegetables. Taste the local cow and goat cheese blends from Acidina Cheese Company. Purchase the wonderful baked goods, jams, spices, and pastas. Everything you need to create memorable, healthy dinners is at the Santa Rosa Original Farmers Market. Open year-round, rain or shine, Saturdays, 8:30 till 1 p.m. at Luther Burbank Center for the Arts. The Santa Rosa Original Certified Farmers Market, where it's always fresh, local, and fun.
SRO Kitchen. I'm Steve Garner along with Chef John Ash celebrating 37 years on the air, a record longest running radio food show in America. And usually if someone calls you a freak, it's not a compliment, is
right.
it? Circus freak. Hey, or hey, hippie, you freak, get out of town.
Yeah.
Well, our next guest is actually proud to be known as the salad freak. Good morning, Jesse.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
Well, we're doing fine. How in the world did you come up with the moniker Salad Freak, which is the title of your cookbook, which came out last year?
You know, it's funny. The last step in writing this book was coming up with a title. It's a really hard process. You have to work together with your publisher and their marketing team and all these people. And I had a bunch of ideas, and they were like, we need something catchier. And my agent said, you know, Claire Saffitz's book, Dessert Person, is so great. Like, that's such a catchy name. And she's like, I just wish there was something like that for salads. And she said, all my friends call me a salad freak, but I mean, that can't be the title. And as soon as she said, I was like, wait, yes, it is. It's perfect, except I wasn't sure that I was ready to be, like, known as the salad freak. I wasn't sure if this meant all my cookbooks from here on out have to be part of, like, a freak franchise. But truly, like, I have really always been obsessed with salads, and I was so excited to see how many people identify as a salad freak out there.
So tell us a little bit about working with Martha, because she was a big influence on you and on this book, Martha Stewart.
Absolutely. I have always, I mean, as far back as I can remember, I've kind of been obsessed with Martha. I was in middle school when I started having little dinner parties for my friends and obsessing over my family's holiday meals and, you know, having meltdowns when all our dishes didn't match or didn't look like they did in the magazine. And I was going to college for medicine, pre-med. I wanted to be an orthopedic surgeon, and I realized that in all of my free time, I was cooking for my friends. And my parents were really surprised when I decided to go to the French Culinary Institute instead of going to med school after college. But I started interning with Martha when I was 20 years old. And I interned for about a year while I was in culinary school and then became a full-time food editor there and have been working with her ever since. And she has been the single biggest influence on my food career, for sure, and really everything I do. She's so inspiring and so funny, which I think is something people are only now getting to see through her Instagram. But I truly can't think of a better mentor or a better person to learn from, because she is deeply curious, and I continue to learn something new from her every single time I'm around her. But as far as salads go, as a food editor, making her lunch was a responsibility that no one else wanted. I was working there because it ended up taking up a huge part of your day, because it involved going to the farmer's market and coming up with something that tasted fresh and new and wasn't what you served yesterday or the day before. So as someone fresh out of culinary school, to me, that was an incredible opportunity. And I had so much fun doing it. And it really changed the whole way I thought about food and the way I made food for myself, because everything really became a salad.
But you did more than just an occasional lunch for Martha. You were with her for a number of years and cooked a lot of lunches for her.
That's right. As a food editor, I was there full time for about 4 years. So that was, a few times a week I was making her lunch. And then I continued working with her. I still work with her when she's here in Los Angeles. And cooking for her and with her is something I continue to do whenever I can.
She's a, how do I say it? She's a very particular person, though. She's opinionated, yes, I guess.
But that's probably good.
But that's not a bad thing. I don't mean that as a criticism. But that must have made it, a little, put the pressure on you.
You know, I say in the introduction to the book, a lot of people ask me, are you a chef? And I say, I've never really worked in a restaurant. And a lot of people will kind of roll their eyes at that. But I'm sorry, even if you're working at one of the top restaurants, when Martha Stewart comes in, you're nervous. She's a really tough critic. And I mean, I think working for her and cooking for her was such an amazing experience, because I just learned so much, and I learned how to do everything. There were really no shortcuts when it came to cooking for her, working for her, and no excuses, and holding yourself and your food to a really high standard right from the beginning sets up really, really good habits in the kitchen.
Well, this book that you wrote is certainly geared to the homeowner, home cook, and not like you don't have to feel intimidated that these are
chefy
recipes. Yeah. How did you, having worked for Martha, how did you make it approachable for the home cook?
You know what? The first magazine I worked at when I started working with Martha was a little digest magazine called Everyday Food. And that magazine was a grocery store magazine. And the recipes were really smart, really efficient, really tasty, but everything was really accessible. And when we developed recipes, we had to make sure that ingredients could be found all over the country. We would, check in with different grocery stores all over. We would take into account, how many dirty dishes you're making when you're making it, if there's weird amount of leftovers. And I think that really made me a better recipe developer, because I think that's really important. I know even myself, even though I love to cook, when it comes to just making dinner, sometimes I don't want to go to 5 different stores to find specialty ingredients. And I can't make it to the farmer's market every week, even though I would love to. So I think there's some, my biggest goal is getting the most people as possible to cook as many vegetables as they as they can, which means making it, you know, accessible.
The book opens with what to have on hand, a nice list of pantry items, some vinegars, oils, mustards, condiments, beans, grains, seeds, nuts. Great suggestions there. Then setting yourself up for salad success, some of the tools and implements that could make your life easier in the kitchen. I'm glad that you included the green stripper. Mm-hmm. John and I review that on the air. A little piece of plastic that makes it so much easier because I grow collard greens in my garden. And until I discovered this little stripper, it took a long time to go through kale and chard and collards. And we ended up sending a few listeners this little stripper. How did you stumble upon it?
It's funny. My partner is not a big cook, but he's a big gadget guy. So even though he's not in the kitchen a lot, he's somehow acquired like every little specialty tool that you could have. And he bought me the green stripper and he was so excited. And I kind of rolled my eyes at him and was like, oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't take up a lot of space in the drawer, but we recently moved from New York and like, you know, drawer space is like very, very slim to none there. But I used it and I realized it makes really quick work out of the task of stripping greens, but also it really strips it right down to the stem. Mm-hmm. So there's less waste, which is always really great.
We'll take a break, quick break, and come back and jump into the cookbook. And fortunately, the first chapter in the book, Jesse, thank you for organizing it this way, is winter.
Winter,
and as we experience some massive storms and gray skies, we're all looking for good things to cook being home for this next week. The book is Salad Freak, and the author is Jesse Dumock. It's subtitled Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession. I'm Steve Garner, along with Chef John Ash. In the KSRO kitchen.
Local and national news headlines, the latest up-to-date traffic reports, and The Drive with Steve Jackson, weekday afternoons on KSRO.
Hi, Jeff Davis of On the Wine Road here once again, and I'd like to reiterate the incredible accomplishment by Smothers European Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa, who are celebrating 40 years of service to Sonoma and Marin counties. You can imagine to have that kind of resilience in a competitive industry is a testament to their customer service. As I've said before, Smothers European Volvo Cars and Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa offer a relaxed atmosphere. Their managers and sales associates are not highbrow. They're just like your neighbors or relatives. You know, the ones you like. So, if a new or certified pre-owned sport or luxury vehicle is on your mind, I would say you can't go wrong with Mercedes-Benz of Santa Rosa or Smothers European Volvo Cars. They're go local dealerships and have been family-owned for 40 years. Find them side by side on the Corbiato Row and SmothersEuropeanVolvoCars.com and MBofSantaRosa.com.
Celebrate the Year of the Rabbit at Graton Resort and Casino with the Lucky Golden Rabbit Giveaway on Friday, January 27th. One $8,000 cash winner every hour, guaranteed. Plus, sign up for the all-new Graton Rewards program and get $25 in free slot play. Experience the best benefits in the Bay. Learn more at GraytonResortCasino.com. Complete rules available at the Rewards Center.
KSRO, AM, FM, and online. Depend on it.
It's Steve Garner and Chef John Ash in the KSRO kitchen. So no, we don't talk about food during the break. John asked me if I was going to buy one of the $1 billion lottery tickets today. And I said, what would I do with it? That's too much money to spend. In the KSRO virtual kitchen today, we're talking with Jess Dumock. Her last name is spelled D-A-M-U-C-K. She's the author of Salad Freak. Came out last year and we couldn't get Jess on the show until today. But it's a great way to start off the year because the first chapter of the book is winter. But you wanted to mention something that impressed you in the book, John.
Well, I love the idea and the fact that you can go get it from you on a regular basis, and that is music to make salads by. How did that come about?
Music is a really big part of my life. I play music. A lot of the people I eat with are musicians. And I just love was having music on in the house. And to me, it's really essential when I cook. It just puts me in a really good mood. It allows me to kind of forget about what else is going on during the day or, you know, whatever happened. And it just really creates a good environment for me. And I think it carries on to dinner, enjoying food as well. Like setting up a good playlist when you're having people over really changes the whole atmosphere. So it's a big part of cooking and eating to me.
Well, and you have a site that you say you changed that playlist every month.
Yeah, I've been making a playlist for every month for about 3 years.
Wow.
So there's a big archive in there for anybody who needs some new music. It's a little all over the place. A lot of electronic music. I play synthesizer, so that's, you know, a big interest of mine. But yeah, I think whatever you like, whatever makes you happy, if you put that on when you're cooking, it's going to feel a little bit better.
Where can we find that music list, Jesse?
There is a QR code in the book that takes you directly to my Spotify account, or you can search my name on Spotify.
Okay. Going into the winter section of the book, which kicks off the Salad Freak book, the first recipe is New Year's Eve citrus, avocado, and little radish salad. You say it's a holiday tradition. So did you actually make this first recipe for New Year's Eve or New Year's Day?
I have to say, this is the first year in a while I didn't, and I do have a good excuse. I am in the middle of writing two cookbooks right now, and I have told myself I am, like, taking a little pause from any extracurricular cooking for a few weeks while I try to get these books done, because I really don't want to get burnt out on cooking. It's something I really love, but I am developing so many recipes. My friends are going to miss my cooking for a little bit unless they're my taste testers.
So there's a picture of this salad in the book, and you make the comment in other parts of the book that styling is a really important part of the recipe, making it, presenting it well.
Yeah, I think it's become more important than ever because of social media. You know, if you don't post a picture of your food, how does anybody know you made it or you ate it or, you know, it has to look good. And as a food stylist for many years, you know, I've found that there's a certain sense of pride when you make a dish and you know that it looks good and it looks really appetizing and colorful. And I want people to feel proud of what they made and excited to share it. So I dropped as many tips as I could without giving away, like, my super hard-earned weird secrets I learned along the way.
Yeah.
But just little things, you know, that go a long way when you're plating your food that maybe aren't super obvious to everybody, but they're not too difficult. And, you know, something as simple as just having some fresh herbs on hand to throw on top of your dish or putting some lemon wedges on the platter. Little things like that go a really long way, and it's definitely paid off because I get so many photos sent to me from Instagram and Facebook and all over the place of these really, really beautiful dishes people are creating at home, and that just makes me so happy.
So the second recipe, which I really love, and you made the comment in the book that salad is more than just with dinner or something. And it is a citrus breakfast salad with spicy chili granola. And that whole idea of having salad for breakfast makes a lot of sense to me.
And I like the addition that you wrote. You made this while you were in a cabin in the woods in the Russian River Valley, just a few miles from the radio station.
Yeah, it's such a beautiful area. I went up there for a week to write, and I ended up mostly cooking. You know, I stopped at the farmer's market in San Francisco and just loaded up on such beautiful ingredients. I was much more inspired to cook for myself than write, which isn't always a bad thing. But yeah, I really believe, you know, to me, salad is sort of just a way of eating. Just eating as much fresh fruits and vegetables as you can. And, you know, starting in the morning is a great place to start.
Well, I love the idea of the citrus breakfast salad with spicy chili granola. Another one from the winter one before we tackle, maybe we'll jump to fall after this, John.
Well, yeah, I want to think, just because we both love pizza, is your Caesar salad pizza. You know, that whole idea of putting a salad on a pizza is, I don't think that's mainstream yet.
You know, it's funny, the food editors at Martha Stewart and I kind of thought we came up with this concept of salad pizza because we would be working on Martha's TV shows, which would sometimes start really early in the morning and we'd shoot late into the evening. And, you know, we'd be, a lot of times it was Martha Bakes, which is all sweet stuff all day. So somebody would finally just order like a New York pizza that maybe wasn't some like best pizza out there, and then like the, you know, chopped salad that you can order at a pizza parlor. And we, to make it feel a little healthier than just like taking down slices of pizza, we would always pile up the salad on top of the pizza and eat it that way. So this Caesar salad pizza feels like it's an elevated form of that for sure. But it's something really fun to play around with. Adding fresh greens to a pizza just adds all of this amazing crunch and texture and makes it feel super fresh. So even if it's just putting a little fresh arugula on a, you know, a plain pie when it comes out of the oven, it can be a really nice way to freshen it up.
So spring is the next chapter. I love the way you organize the book because it talks to the things that you can find in the market. So, Steve, what was your favorite?
I mean, this is kind of a simple one, but I like the peas and prosciutto, the English peas and the snow pea salad. That was one of mine that I starred on that section. Do you have one from that section?
I realized when I developed the book, actually, it wasn't until it came out, I was like, I must really like peas. There are like 8 different pea recipes in the book. But to me, that's like, you know, it's spring when you start seeing peas at the market, especially, you know, growing up on the East Coast and spending a lot of time in New York, things are pretty bleak until you see those first greens of spring, which are the peas and then slowly the asparagus. It was always such an exciting time coming out of winter. Now on the West Coast, the winter is actually a super exciting time at the market because of all the citrus, which still, you know, blows my mind every time I go to the Hollywood Farmers Market on a Sunday here in L.A.
We have mild enough climate that actually my co-host Gwen Kilcher this morning during our garden talk show brought John and I and our producer a beautiful bag of fresh picked Owari Satsuma mandarins that she grew on her property.
They're so good.
So I'm glad that you included a number of citrus recipes in the winter section of the book. Anything in the spring section, John, that caught your eye?
Well, there were all kinds of things that were great. I think what I love, which should be near and dear to your heart, is the matzah fattoush.
So you're a matzah fan, Jess?
I love matzah.
And what is how do you prepare this particular matzah dish?
So this is a take on a fattoush salad, which is a Middle Eastern salad that's traditionally made with pita. But I always seem to have leftover matzah this around, you know, Passover, and it gets a little bit stale, and they're not as delicious to eat on their own. But if you toast them up in the oven with a little bit of seeds, in this case I use everything bagel seasoning, and just do a little egg wash, sprinkle the seasoning, and then pop it in the oven. They're delicious and super crispy and full of flavor, and they make a great alternative to pita chips in this recipe. It's just a nice way to use up some leftovers, but you might also find yourself buying them just to make this.
I had to laugh in the summer section. There was a tip-off that you actually worked with Martha Stewart for a number of years because you included Snoop's barbecue chicken cob salad. He's a really legit, passionate cook, isn't he?
Yeah. So I worked with Snoop Dogg when Martha was shooting Martha and Snoop's potluck dinner party. And I would help Snoop go through the recipes before they had their cooking segment. So it was really fun seeing how enthusiastic he was. And so he was so excited to learn how to cook. In the very beginning of the show, he really had no idea what he was doing, but he wanted to learn. I remember the first thing we cooked together, we made pizzas. And he was so excited to make his own pizza that he asked us at the end of the day, can you guys make me a little package to take home so I can show my kids that we can make pizza at home? They're going to be so excited. But he and Martha are a little bit competitive, even though they're good friends. And I had shot a commercial with them. They were doing the Puppy Bowl, and they each had a table set up where they were going to be making a Super Bowl snack. And Snoop wanted to make 8 dishes so that his spread was bigger and more impressive than Martha's. And one of the things he made was he wanted to make his barbecue chicken wings. And I made them for him, and he took the first bite, and he's like, these are the best chicken wings I've ever had in my life. Where did this recipe come from? And I said, it's your recipe. Somebody gave it to me and said it was your recipe. He's like, no, I've never had chicken wings this good. Then Martha started talking about the book, and he was like, wait, Martha has a salad? He's like, I want a salad in the book. He's like, I want a salad with this chicken. He's like, I want a Cobb salad with all of this stuff. And he really wanted the blue corn tortilla strips in it, which I think was a genius addition to the Cobb salad, because that little extra bit of savory crunchiness is amazing.
We're not going to be able to get into the other sections, but in the fall recipe section, John, I want to make the roasted grapes, endive, and ricotta salata. That's a beautiful recipe, Jesse. And we make gomai all the time, the spinach with the toasted sesame seeds, soy, and some mirin. Wonderful, simple side dish. It's a really wonderful book, too. Would you give us your favorite number today, Jesse, between 1 and 10?
8.
Did you say 8?
Yeah.
Call a number 8 at 636-1350. We'll win a copy of Salad Freak, Recipes to Feed a Healthy Obsession by Jess Damock. We will look forward to your next couple books, Jess. Hope to have you back on the show.
Thank you so much, guys. Have a wonderful Saturday.
Wonderful to talk with you. More after this. Caller number 8, 636-1350.